Man's getting the glory. Man's being pat on the back. Man, I tell you what, you know, blah, blah. And then man take that in. And then he or she begin to think they're all that. When we really not. Because all we have, God gave it to us. Let me say that again. All that we have, all the good that we have, God gave it to us. He gave it to us. So the praise should be vertical. Upward. Praising God. And we shouldn't always be walking around looking for somebody to pat us on the back. If they do it, fine. That's a blessing if they do it. If they don't, you continue going vertical. Because God has promised that on the other side, He will do more than pat you on the back. And that's what I'm looking for. I hope you feel the same way. Bless the name of the Lord. So we have to get our priorities in order, don't we? But sometime in the modern day church, you know, it's all about the people, the people, the people, the people, where people are important. But without God, we're nothing. Absolutely nothing. We couldn't help ourselves. Amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and turn to this back again to the second chapter of 1 John. I want to share some other things with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father God, for those that's gathered here in the sanctuary this evening. Father God, I thank you, Father, for those that are watching by way of the internet. I pray, Father God, that their ears will be open to hear your word, their hearts open to receive your word, having their lives changed because of the word. And Father, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go back to the second chapter of 1 John. Second chapter of 1 John. Hallelujah. Second chapter of 1 John. I thank you, if you've been here or been listening for the past, what, 3 or 4 weeks, we find one of the things we learned from the first epistle of John is John is writing to the church. And of course, that's for us too, because this is God's holy word. But he was endeavoring to get them established in the faith. Established in the faith. And if we're going to be established in the faith, then we must, number one, be willing to receive instruction. Amen. Amen. Be willing to receive instruction. So I want to drop down to verse 15. Now this chapter, second chapter, has about 29 verses. So I have a little ring, guys, in my mic. In the 15th verse, second chapter, the word of God says, do not love the world are the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see that? If our love is for the world, and in this case, the Greek word is cosmos. If we love the world, and this is in the Bible, if we are in love with the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. Because as human beings, we react to what we love or to who we love. If we truly love God, then we're going to seek God, aren't we?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, if we love God, then we're going to seek God. But if we love the world, then we're going to be, we want the things of the world. And so the word of God tells us here in this 15th verse that, let me read it to you again, get it in your spirit, hallelujah, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Or you can say her. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
In the gospel, I want to try to speed this up. Guys, if you can keep up with me upstairs. John chapter 17, verse 15. You probably, all of you probably can quote this by heart, but let's read it. Now, we read here in the Epistle of John 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. So now John 17, the Gospel of John 17, verse 15. Yeah, there you go. Now Jesus was praying for us, wasn't he? In John chapter 17, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all of us who would be coming on later. In other words, he was praying for his body, the church, as well as his disciples and so forth. But then this is what he prayed. He says, I do not pray. He's praying to his Father. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Isn't it good to know that we can live in the world and still live holy?
Amen.
We can live in the world and still please God.
Amen.
Yes, we can. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. The regular King James, I think, said keep them from evil. Am I right? Yeah. But the New King James here says keep them from the evil one. So we are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. Hallelujah. And therefore, we've been instructed in 1 John not to love the world, but to love our Father. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on a little further. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, remember what we just read in the Gospel of John. You don't have to turn back there, but in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus prayed. Let me repeat it again. Father, he was praying. He says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Amen. Well, they went back. But again, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, right?
Amen.
Now, remember that you should keep them from the evil one. Now back at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, let me read it again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world, but is of the world. Now, we have an example of this. We have an example of this. Turn in your Bibles. Let me see where I want you to go. Find my notes here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hang with me a minute. All righty. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3. Turn there. Genesis chapter 3. And I'll begin reading at the first verse. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And of course, the serpent is the devil, right?
Yeah.
And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Everybody say, God has said.
God has said.
Say it one more time.
God has said,
you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Wow. Totally contradicting what God has said. For God, now this is the devil talking, for God knows that in the day, I'll move on. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, let me stop. Let me go ahead and deal with this. When you're reading your word, okay? When you're reading your word, find out who's doing the talking. Now, this is word, in other words, God didn't say this. He said just the opposite. But the Bible is letting us know What he said was a lie, but it was spoken.
Right.
If the devil's doing the talking, you know it's a lie.
Right.
Because Jesus told him, say, he was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of lies.
Amen.
So now he's contradicting what God has said. So, verse 4 again. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, pay special attention to verse 6. Now, what did I tell you earlier? You don't have to turn back there. But all that's in the world is what? The lust of the flesh. What else? The lust of the eyes. Thirdly, pride of life. That's in the world. That's dictated by the evil one. Jesus said, "I'm not praying you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. That we are not deceived by the evil one." Okay? So when the woman, notice something, verse 6. So when the woman saw, see that? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw that the tree was good for food. Lust of the flesh. Now, she had just quoted to the devil what God had said. Right? She knew what God had said. Now, she's being moved away from what God has said, and she's looking at this forbidden fruit, and she's thinking, wow. I would love to eat this fruit because it's pleasant. Let me go on here. So she noticed then when she saw it, she wanted it. And that's same as the lust of the flesh. All right, now let's move on. Not only that, and by the way, let me say this before I move on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. What is the lust of the flesh anyway? Let me make it simple. Longing for what is forbidden. We all know, or we should know, and this is a good example because it's happening every second, I believe. The Bible tells us that we, whether you're married or single, should not commit fornication, which is having sex outside of marriage without being married. Or you should not commit adultery, that's having sex with someone other than your own spouse. Why do people do it? It's because, and it's not limited to sex, but I'm just using this one as an example. It's because of the lust of the flesh. If a matter of fact, Jesus says, if a man look at a woman and lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. So men, learn to look away. Now, I have to admit, sometimes these women don't want to make it easy for you. But just know this, they're not getting by with anything because God sees it all. Hallelujah. I want to say to you young girls and you older ladies as well, if you're not married, keep yourself holy. Keep yourself holy before God. Can I make another statement? You will not die if you do not have sex. Your daily food, yeah, if you stay away from that long enough, you'll eventually starve to death. Nobody has ever starved to death from sex or the lack thereof. Now that's not popular preaching and teaching. But it don't have to be popular, it's in the Word of God. God wants his people to be holy. And I know I've gotten away a little bit from where we're going, but not really. We gotta be like David. David's eyes got him in a whole lot of trouble. When he was up on the roof watching Bathsheba take a bath, when he should have turned around and went back downstairs. And it cost him big, didn't it? Now God forgave him and God used him, didn't he? But it cost him. So we need to be careful what we watch. I know you don't. You just don't hear much of that talk nowadays. You know, I don't think that kind of teaching fill churches. But it's the truth anyway, isn't it? It's the truth anyway. Somebody got to tell the folks. So we need to be careful what we watch. I'm going to share this because two of my children are here, my two oldest boys. This has been a long time ago, You know, I decided I was going to get us a good movie, and me and my two boys were going to watch it. I don't know what Kathy was doing. I don't remember. But I ordered this movie. You remember it? Or you will, probably. Anyway, so I got my two oldest boys in the living room with me, and we're going to watch this movie. It's kind of like a comical movie, you know, funny. But this one particular scene caught me totally off guard. Didn't see it coming. This woman in the bathroom with everything exposed up top. And I'm thinking, oh my Lord, my two sons watching this. Do you remember yet? You don't have to say nothing. I'm thinking, man, I didn't see this coming. So I rushed to the television and turned it off. I said, we're not watching this. Listen to me, Dad. Now, this past Sunday was Father's Day. I looked at them because they looked at me kind of funny. You know, I don't know if they were in shock because they were pretty young. But I looked at them. You know what I did? I apologized to both of them for what they had just seen and let them know that's not right. See, I'd seen the trailers. You know how they advertise movies and that stuff. They didn't show that part. So I apologized to them and asked them to forgive me for showing a lot, for them seeing what they saw. And of course, we took them. Those were the What was it? Wasn't a CD. What was before the CD? VCR. Yeah, the VCR tape. So I put the VCR tape back in the case, and the next day took it back down to the store. How many of you remember you used to have the stores where you could go and rent movies? They had them here in Chiraw. You know, you go and rent your movie. So I had rented this movie, so I took it back the next day. But here's my point. I apologize to them for that because I want them to know that that was wrong and that Daddy made a mistake. Yeah. Because that image have a tendency to want to stick with you. So that's the reason we have to be careful what we allow our eyes to watch. Because that image wants to stick. Y'all still here?
Amen.
Praise God. So anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Praise God. All right. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. You see that? A tree desirable to make one wise. Pride of life, yes. Pride of life. And that's how Satan tripped up Eve. Matter of fact, you have Genesis 3:6 up here. Give it to me from the Amplified Bible. I want to read it to you. Amen. We're not going to get much further than this tonight. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to do what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a tree to be what?
Desired.
In order to do what?
Make one wise.
She took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some also to her husband. That was Adam. And he ate. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the book of John tells us that's what's in the world. That's what we have to deal with in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need to know this so that when it happens, we can stand against it and we can say, no, We didn't get very far at all tonight, but that's okay, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Remember what I said, John, And God's using this book, the Word of God, to cause us to become stable in our faith and in our walk with God. Can I tell you something? You can come back up, guys. Listen to me. You can live a holy life. God wouldn't have told us to do it. Are you still here? God will not tell us to do anything that we are unable to do. Now, we may be unable to do it in the natural, but we have to understand we have a helper. The Holy Spirit, we have a helper. When we grab a hold of the Word of God, we have a helper. We have a helper. Glory to God. If you have any addictions in your life, you can be free of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. People need to learn to stand on the Word of God and learn to cry out to God and take a stand against the enemy. Amen. Eve could have rejected Satan's offer because she already had the Word on it. She knew what the Word said. In other words, she knew what God's Word said. God had already told them, don't eat from that tree in the midst of the garden, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat of that tree, because the day that you do, you're going to surely die. And he wasn't talking about necessarily physically, although they did eventually die, right? Physically. But they died spiritually because they disobeyed God. And of course, Adam was standing right there and he didn't step up and do anything about it. He's watching the devil deceive his wife, and he didn't do anything about it. You know why? Because it was looking pretty good to him too. He wouldn't have eaten it if he didn't want it. I know she gave it to him. She gave him the forbidden fruit, but he didn't have to eat it. As a matter of fact, what he could have done is commanded the devil, the serpent, to get out of the garden, get out of his face. He didn't do it. And because of that, Satan became the god of this world. Little g. Everybody say little g.
Little g.
He became the god of this world. This, because Adam sold out. You become a slave to who you obey. They obeyed the devil. They became slaves of the devil. Absolutely. Father, we thank you now for your word that will never come back void. May we walk in your word. May we be obedient to your word. May we take authority over our flesh and not allow it to do what it wants to do. It must obey us. We are not to obey it. Father, I thank you. And I give you glory. Hallelujah. Those of you that's watching, if any of you that's watching, not born again, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I got good news for you. He died for you. He rose again from the grave for you. All you have to do is receive him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Believe in him. Believe in him.